Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's reading of the Yuma Sun, Yuma's daily newspaper. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Mary Wiegand. Some of the articles I'm going to be reading today include a recap of headlines from the weekend editions of the Yuma Sun, the Arizona Attorney General to hold a town hall meeting in Yuma on Wednesday, May 14th. San Luis Rio, Colorado authorities say homicides are down, and driving the mission at YPG. Before we do the news, let's do the weather. For Tuesday, May 13th, mostly sunny, a high of 85, a low of 59, and winds out of the west at 20 miles per hour. For Wednesday, the 14th of May, sunny, a high of 88, a low of 58, and winds out of the west-northwest at 10 miles per hour. And then for Thursday, the 15th of May, sunny, a high of 92, a low of 61, and winds out of the west-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Now, for the news. First, headlines from the weekend editions of the Yuma Sun. From the Friday, May 9th edition of the Yuma Sun, the Gadsden Elementary School District responded to federal grant termination by approving a $972,210 budget reallocation to ensure Teacher Advancement Program, TAP, payouts to eligible certified staff. The governing board announced the budget reallocation on Thursday, May 8th, in a press release. The decision follows a February 19th notice that a previously awarded grant from the U.S. Department of Education, in partnership with the National Institute for Excellence in Teaching, had been terminated effective immediately. Also from Friday, Marine Combat Training. Yuma Proving Ground is the Army's premier developmental tester, yet has for years supported the twice-annual Weapons and Tactics Instructor Course in Yuma for Marine Corps aviators, ground combat planners, and support personnel. Roughly 300 Marines of Camp Pendleton's 2nd Battalion, 5th Infantry, spent just over a month living in YPG's Forward Operating Base Laguna, serving as the ground combat element in several training exercises for Marine Corps aviators. YPG's major mission is testing equipment for troops, but in recent years, well over 100 units have utilized the installation for training purposes. Also from Friday, Woodward Junior High School celebrated a major academic achievement on Thursday, marking its continuation as an AVID national demonstration school with a parade and rally that brought together students, staff, and community supporters. Only about 2% of schools in the nationwide AVID, Advancement Via Individual Determination, program earn the National Demonstration School designation. The honor recognizes campuses that model the highest standards of AVID implementation and serve as exemplary sites for other schools seeking to improve college and career readiness. And finally, from Friday, from the sports section, COFA Wrestling hosting 25th Annual Castaneda Chaos Golf Tournament. Golfers from all around Yuma County are encouraged to participate in the 25th Annual Castaneda Chaos Golf Tournament on May 24th at Desert Hills Golf Club. All proceeds from the tournament go towards the COFA Wrestling Club, team travel, and training expenses, benefiting the incredibly successful Kings program. To register, contact Sal at 928-210-6638, Chewy at 928-446-9880, or the tournament email, castanedachaos@hotmail.com. Next, from the Saturday, May 10th edition of the Yuma Sun, from San Luis, the wish list of capital projects from San Luis City departments will undergo a deep cut in the 2025-2026 fiscal year budget due to a drop in revenue across several categories. numerous projects proposed by departments totaling over $59.1 million will have to be postponed due to lack of funding, with more than $11 million in projects removed from the list for the upcoming year. That's according to Mayor Nieves Reidel, who emphasized that this is not a savings measure, but a cut, as there are not enough funds to support these projects. Councilmember Lisbeth Servin has been one of the most vocal opponents of the mayor's portrayal of the city's financial status. I don't agree with her. The city is financially stable. Potentially, in 3 years, we could face a difficult situation if we don't act now or make changes, but we're not in bad shape, said Servin. I understand the mayor wants to be cautious, but it bothers me that she keeps saying we're in a bad financial situation, because we're not. Next, from the Saturday edition, travel and tourism in Yuma County generated $754.1 million in direct spending in 2023. In addition, the tourism industry supported more than 6,200 local jobs. In 2024, 159,502 flyers traveled through Yuma International Airport. Revenues raised through tourism offset the tax burden by $822 per local household. In Yuma, residents and visitors alike pay a hospitality tax, which in turn generates funding used to maintain and operate local parks and historic landmarks. And finally, from Saturday, schools were placed on lockdown on Friday, May 9th, after police received a report of a man believed to be walking in the vicinity with a backpack containing firearms. The guns turned out to be toys, the Yuma Police Department said. At about 9:31 a.m., officers responded to a report of a suspicious man near 4th Avenue Junior High School. As a precautionary measure, nearby schools and school buildings, including Yuma High School, Mary E. Post, 4th Avenue Junior High School, and Roosevelt, were placed on lockdown. Officers quickly located and contacted the individual and determined that the backpack contained toy guns and there was no threat to public safety. We would like to thank the staff of all involved schools for their swift response and dedication to student safety, the police said. And this concludes a recap of headlines from the weekend editions of the Yuma Sun. Now, news from the Monday, May 12th edition of the Yuma Sun. Arizona Attorney General to hold town hall meeting in Yuma this week. This article by James Gilbert, Sun staff writer. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays will hold a public town hall meeting in Yuma on Wednesday, May 14th, to discuss the state's ongoing legal and political interactions with the Trump administration. The event will take place from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Yuma Historic Theater, located at 254 South Main Street. The event is free and open to the public. According to the Attorney General's office, Mays will deliver a 15 to 30-minute presentation focused on the state's current legal position regarding the president's administration. Following her remarks, audience members will be invited to ask questions directly. The town hall is part of a broader initiative by the Attorney General's office to promote transparency and encourage civic engagement on key state and federal issues. Tom Gibson, a Yuma resident and military veteran helping to promote the event, said the format provides an important opportunity for community members to witness firsthand a presentation by a leading state official. I think it's incredibly important for people to hear directly from the source, without other people's spin, Gibson said. You get to ask questions and get unfiltered answers. That's why it's so important for Yuma residents to attend this meeting. Gibson previously attended a similar town hall held by Mays in Mesa. He said the experience left him with a deeper respect for the role of public officials in navigating complex legal matters. My takeaway was that the Attorney General is doing what she believes is right based on her interpretation of the law, he said. We don't have to agree with every decision, but we do have to accept the process. That's what being part of a democracy is. Gibson, who describes himself as leaning toward conservatism, said he hopes the event encourages respectful dialogue across political lines. We become a very polarized nation, he said. One of my favorite sayings is, acceptance does not mean embracement. You don't have to agree with the decision, but you do have to stay engaged. For more information, residents may contact the Attorney General's office or visit its official website at azag.gov. And once again, the Arizona Attorney General is holding a town hall meeting in Yuma on Wednesday, May 14th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Yuma Historic Theater, 254 South Main. Our next article, San Luis Rio, Colorado authorities say homicides down. United Command Forces return. This article is from Staff Reports. 2 weeks after the implementation of the Unified Command in San Luis Rio, Colorado, the Public Security Secretariat reported significant progress in public safety, highlighting the seizure of narcotics and other prohibited substances, as well as the arrest of individuals involved in various crimes. On April 8th, the government of Sonora reinstated the Unified Command in the city, putting the Public Security Secretariat in charge of public safety operations in San Luis Rio, Colorado. In a statement issued on April 25th, the agency reported that the State Public Security Police made 233 arrests in the municipality. Additionally, authorities recovered 8 stolen vehicles and seized 11 firearms, 824 rounds of ammunition, 49 magazines, and 125 doses of methamphetamine. As a result of these actions, the agency noted an 87.5% decrease in intentional homicides, dropping from 16 cases recorded between March 26th and April 8th to just 2 cases between April 9th and April 21st. Furthermore, the Public Security Secretariat's intelligence unit, with the support of drones, a helicopter, citizen reports to 9/11, and the anonymous 089 tip line, intensified investigative efforts, leading to the dismantling of criminal cells and the arrest of individuals responsible for generating violence in the municipality. The agency also announced the recent arrival of personnel from the Public Security Secretariat's Internal Affairs Unit, which oversees the conduct of both state and municipal police officers to ensure proper performance of their duties and to strengthen public trust. However, it should be noted, reports of violence surged again, with 2 murders and a person wounded by gunfire the following week. And this article, San Luis Rio, Colorado authorities say homicides are down. Just a reminder, you are listening to the Yuma Sun with Mary Wiegan on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Our next article, Driving the Mission at Yuma Test Center. This article by Anna Henderson, Yuma Proving Ground. At Yuma Test Center, the mission is to test items for air and ground combat. So when these items come into the hands of the warfighter, there's no doubt the items work. One method used to assess the capability of combat vehicles is to drive them, and that is the mission of the test vehicle operators. The term drive is used lightly, as these are not casual drives on regular roads. YTC test vehicle operators drive the vehicles on paved, sand, and gravel courses. There are steep elevations, washboard roads, potholes, and bumps. They drive through sand slopes, dust and mud courses, and roads with vertical steps and gaps. They perform braking, acceleration, steering, and handling tests, and evasive maneuvers. Engineers need to find what, if anything, it takes to make the vehicles fail. Test vehicle operators Clayton Wall and Jamie Quinones were drivers on the M1311 medium equipment trailer test together. Quinones gained experience driving a semi prior to his career at YTC. Wall received on-the-job training. Regardless of their experience, each YTC test vehicle operator is trained specifically for the vehicle by the manufacturer. "We have to get a license for each type of vehicle," explained Wall. Quinones further explained, "First, you get training. Then you drive it for a while with a trainer. Then they give you a test. Then they issue you a license." They each hold more than 25 licenses. Their workday starts with doing pre-maintenance checks on the test vehicles they are driving. Quinones details the list of items they check. "We check for fluids, leaks, everything to make sure it's good to go. We check the tires to make sure they don't have flats. We make sure all our levels are good. All the lights are working. If something is not working as it should, they make a note of it in their log and report it to the test officer. If everything goes well during the pre-check, they can start driving." Sometimes drivers are on their own. Other tests require more than one driver for visibility, depending on the size of the vehicle. When driving, there is no time for chit-chat or zoning out while listening to a podcast. They are fully attentive to their surroundings. "We have to be focused," said Quinones. "If he's driving, I need to be watching." When asked to guess how many miles they drive in a year, they struggle to find a number because of the variety of courses and the vehicles. "It depends what kind of vehicle you are running, because if you have a Bradley and an AMPV, which is an armored multipurpose vehicle, you go on different courses," said Quinones. Wall roughly estimates that in 1 year, he drives about 100,000 miles. Some are short tests, 300 or 400 miles. Some are thousands, Wall shares. Both men know they have a cool job driving combat vehicles, and they realize the purpose behind their job is impactful. "We are the first ones to test it. If it passes, it goes to the soldier. So we know we are doing something for the soldiers. It's safe for them to use," remarked Quinones. And this article, Driving the Mission at Yuma Test Center. In other news, developer objects to walls as a condition for approval. The Planning and Zoning Commission delays a rezoning decision amid legal questions. This article by Josh Bootson, SunStaff writer. Amid legal disagreements pertaining to the city's conditions for rezoning, the Yuma Planning and Zoning Commission continued a rezoning request to a future meeting. Dahl Robbins and Associates, on behalf of Brian L. Hall Living Trust, requested a rezoning of a triangular property spanning about 50 acres at the southeast corner of State Route 195 and 40th Street, from agriculture to high-density residential, with plans to build apartments. This property was annexed to the city in 1998. A general plan amendment was then approved in February of this year to change the land use designation to high-density residential for about 14.5 of the 50 acres to match the rest of the property. With this request to rezone the entire 50 acres, the potential residential development could contain between 657 and 1,516 units based on the standards for high-density residential. On April 28th, city staff identified 7 conditions for approval of the rezoning and presented them to the applicant, but the applicant disagreed with number 5 and number 6. Condition number 5 calls for the owner-developer to construct sound attenuation walls along the State Route 195 frontage and the future elevated portions of 40th Street, as done similarly in the Ocotillo subdivisions along the highway. William Katz, legal counsel for the developer, explained that Condition 5 is essentially requiring costly development features to be added to the project. Katz pointed out that nearby development along State Route 195, including Araby Crossing and a developed city property, is not required to have sound attenuation walls. My client overall objects to the idea that you need sound attenuation walls when previous developments was not required to do such, Katz said. He also raised the concern that imposing sound attenuation walls along streets used for transportation improvements requires an alteration to the city's infrastructure improvement plan, which can only be done by the council. The developer also objected to Condition 6, which requires the owner-developer to make a payment in lieu for design and construction of 40th Street roadway from Avenue 6 and 3 quarter east westward to the west edge of property frontage. The condition states that 40th Street improvements consist of two travel lanes located on the south side of the road, including an aggregate base, pavement, curb, gutter, sidewalk walking path, streetlights, and landscaping per city construction standards. Katz argued that this street section is not addressed in the latest infrastructure improvement plan adopted by the council, and any condition of approval that's placed on a developer to build a road would require the council to amend the plan, which includes payment in lieu. In addition, Katz and his client noted that the two conditions were assigned too early in the process. Those are the types of potential conditions of approval you typically see associated with platting, preliminary platting, or final platting that goes before the Planning and Zoning Commission or Council. This is a rezone, Katz said. My client is objecting to those two conditions at this stage because they shouldn't be taken up currently. They should be discussed later on. We are asking that 5 and 6 be removed by the Commission. John LeSueur, legal counsel for the city, attested that requiring these conditions at this stage does not break the law or violate city code. The reason why the city recommended these conditions is that there's maximal city authority, LeSueur said. The city feels like if the city wants to require these, its best position is to ask for them at the rezone. Andrew McGarvey, city engineer, backed up LeSueur's argument. The reason we asked for these up front is there's not a requirement for a platting process for the apartments that they're proposing. Essentially, they can start off and build a section of apartments and then continue that through the years without having a plat process for this. According to McGarvey, the developer would normally be required to address these conditions during the platting process, as explained by Katz. But with a specific type of proposed development for this property, the owner would not be required to go through the platting process at all. For this reason, to ensure the sound attenuation and other conditions are addressed, the city felt the need to include them in the rezoning. Placing costly development requirements on a rezone is essentially not allowed under Yuma City Code or any state law. Those are platting issues, Katz argued. Right now, we're determining the potential maximum and minimum densities. We're not determining products that will be built, timelines in which they will be built. Essentially, what the city is saying is you have to build the sound attenuation walls in order for your zoning to pass. When has that ever been required of anyone in Yuma? It certainly wasn't required at Araby Crossing. And you have to allegedly do that within 2 years, Katz said. After an executive session to receive legal counsel, the commission voted 4-0 to continue this case to a future meeting due to the uncertainty surrounding the legal status of the city's conditions for rezoning approval. And this article, developer objects to walls as a condition for approval. Our final article for today, mobile home fire displaces family. No injuries reported. Cause of blaze under investigation. This article by James Gilbert, Sun Staff writer. A fire displaced a family of five and three dogs early Sunday morning near South Angler Avenue and East 15th Street, according to the Rural Metro Fire Department. Firefighters responded to the residential fire at about 2:50 a.m. and found a double-wide mobile home fully engulfed in flames, with flames threatening nearby structures to the east, west, and south. Firefighters deployed multiple hose lines to contain and extinguish the blaze, while ambulance crews evacuated neighboring residences as a precaution. The fire was successfully contained to the property of origin and extinguished without spreading to adjacent homes. No injuries were reported, but the displaced family lost their home. The American Red Cross was called in to assist the family with temporary housing and emergency needs. Firefighters remained on the scene for several hours to extinguish hot spots. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Rural Metro expressed appreciation to a nearby resident who brought donuts to the firefighters working the scene. And this article, Mobile Home Fire Displaces Family. Well, we are at the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Mary Wiegand. Thank you for tuning in today for the Yuma Sun. If you missed any part of this program or any of our other outstanding programs, you can go to our website, sunsounds.org, and listen to any of them on demand under broadcast info and audio. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and our on-demand programs on the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. You can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home devices. Please stay tuned for more programming. The Wall Street Journal is next on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a wonderful day.